My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we have a fortuitous combination of these two readings, one from the Old Testament, from the book of Tobit, the other from the Gospel according to St. Mark, in which a theme suggests itself very relevant to our day and age, and that is the theme of fidelity to the doctrine on marriage and the family in an age of infidelity. The Book of Tobit, according to the notes, scholarly notes on this book, given in a very, I find, very helpful and insightful edition of the Bible called the Didache Bible. It's a teaching Bible that includes many notes on the history, on as well as what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches. In this introduction to the Book of Tobit, it says that the author of this book wrote it in the second century before Christ for the people of his own time as an example for them to follow as they struggled with the tensions of living a faithful Jewish life in the midst of a non-Jewish civilization. And I found that interesting because it seems very comparable to the situation of Christians today, struggling to be faithful, to live a faithful Christian, a faithful Catholic life in the midst of a non-Christian civilization. And this story of Tobit includes the beautiful episode we heard today of the marriage of Tobiah and Sarah, a marriage that at the outset faced certain struggles, or at least perhaps dim prospects, based on the fact that Sarah had been engaged and married seven times before, only to have her husband in each case die on their wedding day because of the demon that plagued her. And yet Tobiah takes her as his wife and prays with her. And that prayer then becomes the foundation of their hope and makes their marriage successful because God hears their prayer. And his words then are also very appropriate to our consideration of marriage today, the true doctrine on marriage. The translation we heard in today's Mass, which comes from another translation than the Didache, it's the New American Bible Revised Edition. The translation goes like this: "Now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. Call down your mercy on me and on her, and allow us to live together to a happy old age." The Didache Bible that I was looking at gives a slightly different translation. In essence, it's the same, but the words can help us understand from a slightly different angle. Still, it's translated this: "Now, not with lust, but with fidelity, I take this kinswoman as my wife." So, what is this noble purpose and this fidelity to which he refers? It is God's plan for man and woman to be united in holy matrimony for the purpose, according to his love and wisdom, for the love of the spouses and for procreation and for stability of a loving and committed relationship, exclusive, lifelong, and fertile. Just to incorporate the other readings we heard, the responsorial psalm also gives a beautiful image of the family and marriage. The response was, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, those who follow his ways and honor his commandments." And then there was this reference to one of the blessings being a fecund, fertile, and happy family life. "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table." And this is a beautiful image of God's order for human life, his plan for a natural and blessed family. We know from the book of Genesis that God made us in his image, male and female, and he made us then this way to be united in love for procreation and for the education of new generations. But it isn't simply to set in motion a biological process that should continue to fill the earth with people, and that's it. No, there's much more to it. If it was simply to multiply and carry on physical life, we know that's not the case, because that's what Israel was doing when it went astray after God had rescued them from Egypt. Moses went up on the mountain, and before he could come down in 40 days, they had already established the golden calf and were reveling, dancing, singing, drinking, carousing, and they had completely forgotten their purpose. And that's when Moses broke the tablets in anger. But God's plan for human life is also revealed then today in a particular way, in a very synthetic and powerful way, in our Lord's teaching of the greatest commandments: to love God with all our being, above everything else, and totally committed to him, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And that teaching, then, our Lord combinates almost with the statement that you are not far from the kingdom of God. If we understand this, and if we're faithful to this truth, that our greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart and all our soul and our being, and our neighbor as ourself, that's tantamount then to the realization of God's eternal purpose for mankind, to populate his kingdom. With regard to marriage and the true doctrine on marriage, there are a couple of very dramatic statements from recent history involving Pope John Paul II, now declared saint, as well as Sister Lucia, the Fatima seer. Before he was elected pope, Cardinal Wotilia made a statement regarding our times. He said, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. I do not think that the wide circle of the American society or the whole wide circle of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the Antichrist. The confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it must be a trial which the church must take up and face courageously. As I mentioned, the book of Tobit was written for the Jewish people struggling to be faithful to their covenant with God in the midst of a civilization that was unfaithful. And the church today, as always, but in a particular way today, finds itself in this same situation of struggle. And the attack on Christian faith is, we could say, total. Pope John Paul II called it the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church. And in a particular way, the doctrine on marriage and the family lies at the very core of that confrontation and is a signal point of conflict. And Sister Lucia, to whom the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared along with, also witnessed by Saint Jacinta and Saint Francisco, just canonized this last May 13th, Sister Lucia wrote in a letter to Cardinal Caffara that the final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Cardinal Caffara is one of the four cardinals that have requested clarification on the document Amoris Laetitiae, which has led to division within the church on how marriage is to be understood as a covenant that is not only between a man and a woman, but between that family and God, between the church and God. And we see this division then over the interpretation of the true Catholic doctrine on marriage. And it's interesting to note that those who want to pursue a liberal interpretation, which would say that divorce and remarriage is compatible with the covenant, compatible with communion, are the same ones who reject Pope St. John Paul II's teaching on the family given in Familius Consortio. So, brothers and sisters, the challenge is before us to remain faithful in an unfaithful generation, in a world that has aligned itself with the Antichrist. And the church has to stand true to the teaching given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ and love God then above all things, to make no compromises in our own hearts, and to love our neighbor as ourself in that spirit of covenant and fidelity. And if we do this, then we are participating with God in his plan, not only for our own life and for our age, but his eternal plan to populate the kingdom of God. And this is the greatest of all commandments. Let us pray in the spirit of Tobias and Sarah to be blessed, to be faithful, and we can be assured that God, who sent his mother at Fatima to give us a message of hope in the midst of danger, we can be sure that he will give us his help and keep us in his most sacred heart. Praise be Jesus and Mary.